All right, so today we're diving deep into a case that's been making waves, Mitchell v. Wisconsin.
Yeah, this one really gets to the heart of some tricky Fourth Amendment questions.
It does, and whether you're, you know, a lawyer or just someone who's interested in these sorts of things, this case is it's pretty fascinating.
Absolutely. It really boils down to this question of when can the police draw your blood without a warrant, especially if you're unconscious?
Yeah, and, you know, drunk driving, obviously a huge problem, a serious issue, but does that then mean that we just toss out you know, someone's constitutional rights?
That's the debate, isn't it? And that's what makes Mitchell v. Wisconsin so significant. It sets a precedent. It has implications for DUI cases all over the country, not just this one instance.
Right, exactly. So for our listeners who maybe aren't familiar with the specifics, can you kind of lay out what happened in this case?
Sure. So we have Gerald Mitchell, and he was arrested for driving under the influence. His blood alcohol content was, three times the legal limit, but he was so intoxicated that he actually passed out before they could give him a breathalyzer.
So he's unconscious at the hospital, and...
And while he's unconscious, the police, following Wisconsin law, they draw his blood, and they did it without a warrant.
Okay, so right there, red flags start going up, right? I mean, this is where the Fourth Amendment comes into play. Mitchell argued this warrantless blood draw, it violated his rights.
Exactly. And the Supreme Court, they had to grapple with this really tough question. Does the fact that he was unconscious, unable to consent to a breathalyzer, does that automatically create an exception to the warrant requirement?
And what did they decide? I mean, it seems pretty straightforward, right?
Well, not really. The court's decision wasn't a simple yes or no. In fact, a majority of the justices formed what we call a plurality.
A plurality. So not a full majority.
Right. It's like a legal gray area. They agreed the blood draw was legal in this specific case, but they couldn't agree on the exact reasoning, the why.
Ah, so that makes things tricky. How are lower courts supposed to apply this ruling if the reasoning is all over the place?
Yeah, it can create some real headaches for judges trying to figure out how this precedent actually works in practice. It leaves a lot open to interpretation.
Okay, so how did they even reach a decision then? If they couldn't agree on the why, what was the common ground?
Well, they leaned pretty heavily on the concept of exigent circumstances. It basically means there's some kind of emergency that requires immediate action.
I've heard that term before. So the idea is if the police have to wait for a warrant, crucial evidence might be lost.
Right. And in Mitchell's case, the evidence was literally disappearing from his body as his blood alcohol level naturally went down.
Ah, so they're saying the clock is ticking because that BAC is decreasing, so that creates an emergency.
That was the argument. And Justice Alito, writing for the plurality, he said waiting for a warrant in those situations could mean losing key evidence. He also pointed out that, you know, police officers are often dealing with a lot during a DUI arrest. Securing the scene, dealing with medical emergencies, that all takes time.
So even if there is time to get a warrant, theoretically,
it might not feel that way in the heat of the moment. And by the time a warrant is secured, the BAC evidence might be unreliable.
But wasn't there pushback on this whole existence circumstances argument? I mean, it seems like you could make that claim in almost any DOI case.
Oh, absolutely. There are some strong dissenting opinions. Justice Sotomayor, for instance, she argued that Wisconsin basically admitted they did have enough time to get a warrant in Mitchell's case.
Really? So what was their justification then?
Well, Sotomayor pointed out that the state's own procedures for obtaining warrants were actually pretty quick. So to her, this wasn't a true emergency. It was just a way to get around the Fourth Amendment.
It's like this constant tug of war between the need to gather evidence quickly for public safety and the right to be free from unreasonable searches. It's a tough one. So where does this leave us? Does this case basically swing the pendulum in favor of law enforcement?
Well, Mitchell v. Wisconsin definitely seems to give police more leeway when it comes to DUI blood draws, especially when the suspect is unconscious. The plurality, they created this presumption of exigency in these cases.
So that means?
It means the burden of proof is now on the defendant to prove the police did have time to get a warrant. They have to prove it wasn't an emergency.
So the playing field has shifted. What does that even mean for someone in Mitchell's situation? They're unconscious, vulnerable, and their blood is being drawn without their consent. What can they do?
That's a really good question, and it's one we're going to dig into as we continue our deep dive into this landmark case. It's not like the Fourth Amendment just disappears in DUI cases, right? Defendants can still challenge a warrantless blood draw, but it's tougher now.
So it's not a guaranteed win for the prosecution, but it definitely makes things harder for the defense. What kind of things would a court even consider when deciding if the police had time to get a warrant? Like, what are the factors?
Well, it's going to be case by case, right? Courts are going to look at all sorts of things, like, was there a judge available to issue the warrant? How far away was the nearest hospital or testing facility? And crucially, what exactly did the officers do at the scene? Like, imagine an officer takes a long lunch break before even trying to get a warrant.
That doesn't sound good.
Right. That could really help the defendant's case.
So it's not just about the time that passes, but how the police actually use that time It seems like there's a lot of gray area here, which could mean different courts apply this ruling in different ways.
Exactly. And that's what makes Mitchell v. Wisconsin so interesting. It doesn't give us clear-cut answers. It creates more questions. It's like setting the stage for future legal battles over just how far the Fourth Amendment goes in DUI cases.
This also makes me think about implied consent laws. You know those laws that basically say if you drive a car, you're consenting to a breathalyzer or a blood test if you're suspected of DUI. Every state has them. Does Mitchell v. Wisconsin change any of that?
It's a good question, and it's one that people are debating. The Supreme Court specifically said their decision in Mitchell wasn't based on Wisconsin's implied consent laws. They focused on existent circumstances, which is a separate thing.
So they're saying even if Wisconsin didn't have that implied consent law, they still would have upheld the blood draw because of the urgency of the situation.
Exactly. And then you have Justice Gorsuch, and he wrote this dissenting opinion where he says the court shouldn't have even looked at the exigent circumstances argument.
Why not?
Because he said it wasn't properly raised in the lower courts. He saw this as the Supreme Court, you know, kind of overstepping and maybe setting a dangerous precedent.
So disagreements not just about the outcome of the case, but about how the court got there. This case really is like a law school exam question waiting to happen.
Right. It forces us to really think about the Fourth Amendment, state laws, public safety versus individual rights. And as technology keeps changing, the way we test for BAC, this case is going to be relevant for a long time.
Speaking of technology, what if, and this might be way out there, what if we get to a point where we can test someone's BAC instantly? No needles or anything, maybe just like a breathalyzer that's super accurate, or even a scan of your skin. Would that change this whole exigent circumstances argument?
That's a great point. If technology gets that good, that fast, then yeah, the whole idea of exigency might have to be rethought. The law always has to adapt.
It's like playing catch-up, right? But until we have those Star Trek scanners, it seems like the message from Mitchell is pretty clear. If you're unconscious and suspected of DUI, chances are your blood's getting drawn without a warrant, and fighting that in court is going to be tough.
That's the reality right now. But Mitchell v. Wisconsin isn't the be-all, end-all. There are still situations where a warrantless blood draw might be unconstitutional. The court left some room for future cases to figure that out.
So there's still hope for defendants, maybe a little less than before, but it's not a closed door.
Right. This whole debate about police power and the Fourth Amendment, it's not over. Mitchell v. Wisconsin is just one piece of a much bigger puzzle.
Now, we can't talk about Mitchell v. Wisconsin without mentioning Justice Thomas. He had a whole other take on this, didn't he? He did. He really went in a different direction. It's like he wanted a much stricter rule, no exceptions.
Yeah, Justice Thomas basically said the fact that alcohol naturally leaves your bloodstream, that always creates an emergency in a DUI case.
So no matter what?
Pretty much. He said if the police have probable cause to think someone's been driving drunk, they should be able to draw blood. No warrant needed.
Wow. That's a pretty strong stance. It's like he's saying all the details, the individual circumstances, none of that matters. If there's probable cause, just go for it. That seems like it would give law enforcement a lot of power, maybe too much.
It would. And that's why the dissenting justices, especially Justice Sotomayor, they really pushed back. They said the kind of broad exception to the warrant requirement that basically undermines the whole point of the Fourth Amendment in DUI cases.
Right. It's like opening the door to all kinds of potential problems.
Exactly. They were worried about abuse, about eroding individual rights. So you have these very different viewpoints, right? Justice Thomas saying we need a clear, simple rule. Law enforcement needs to be able to act fast. And then you have justices like Sotomayor saying, hold on, we can't just throw away the Fourth Amendment. We need to protect people's rights.
And the plurality, they kind of landed in the middle, didn't they?
Yeah, they said, we get it. DUI is serious. We need to allow for quick action. But they also left some room for defendants to challenge those warrantless blood draws if they think the police had time to get a warrant. It's complicated, to say the least.
It is. A lot for lawyers to sort through, for sure. So let's bring this back down to earth for a second. If I'm representing someone whose blood was drawn without a warrant while they were unconscious, what can I even do after Mitchell v. Wisconsin? Is it even worth trying to fight that blood draw anymore?
It's still worth fighting, absolutely. But yeah, Mitchell makes it harder. Like we said, now the defendant has to prove the police didn't have an emergency. They have to show there was enough time to get a warrant.
What would that even look like? What kind of evidence would help?
You want to show the police weren't really in a rush? Was there a long delay getting your client to the hospital? Did the officers wait a while before even asking a judge for a warrant? Any mistakes, any weird procedures that show they weren't following the rules? All of that can help.
So it's about finding those little details, those cracks in the case that show maybe things weren't as urgent as the police claimed.
Right. There's no easy answer. It takes a lot of digging, a lot of research, and a really solid legal argument specific to that case.
That's what makes this area of law so fascinating, right? It's not cut and dry.
Exactly. You're always looking at the facts, the law, thinking on your feet. It's a challenge, but that's what makes it interesting.
Well, Mitchell v. Wisconsin has definitely shaken things up in DUI law, It raises all these big questions about the Fourth Amendment, police power, how we balance public safety with individual rights, and this is a case we're going to be talking about for years to come, I'm sure.
No doubt. It's a reminder that law is always changing. It has to adapt to society, to new technology, to new legal challenges. And as those changes happen, we need to stay informed, think critically, and make sure our justice system protects everyone's rights.
Well said. So as we wrap up our deep dive into Mitchell v. Wisconsin, we hope you've learned something new, something that makes you think. This case is a reminder that you need to know your rights, you need to understand how the legal system works, and if you're ever facing a DUI charge, please get a good lawyer.
And pay attention to how technology changes things. We'll be here to keep you updated as DUI law evolves, as the legal landscape shifts. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive, and we'll see you next time for another exciting exploration of the law. T-T-A-E.